morning has turned to afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
But the grind carries on.
Not just the grind physically, but the grind mentally.
The Midday Grind, featuring a couple of TV jockeys who've also been through the radio wars.
Serious?
Martin Kilcoyne.
I was a little lit, so I was saying whatever I wanted.
And Charlie Marlowe.
Our top story tonight, John Jay will be back tomorrow. Here's him getting a hit in 2012.
It's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Hello, workers. All of them.
Hello, dirt.
Hello, dirt. Dirt workers. They're actually putting the track down as we speak, fine-tuning the track here at the Dome at America's Center.
God made dirt, and dirt don't hurt. Remember that.
Words
to live by.
Chuck's so religious, he's dropping lines already. It's dirt don't hurt. It's Gateway Dirt Nationals today, later today through Saturday here at the Dome at America's Center. GatewayDirt.com, more information. Unique spectacle. Seeing the track. It really is kind of, when you walk in, first of all, you have, whether you're a media member or a former football fan, you have some sort of weird flashback when you walk into this building.
You really do.
All the times you're on that elevator going up and down and awkward moments. And standing next to Billy Devaney when the TKO may have been that he needs to go, and then you're standing next to him the next day.
Well, hello, Martin.
Eating a lot of different food up here.
Nachos.
None of it that good, but ate a lot of nachos.
Nachos, and then you had the ice cream refrigerator full of the drumsticks and the different treats.
Frank pointed out that Doug Vaughn, the list on the wall, he's still in the Press Box Hall of Fame for most drumsticks consumed.
So good.
But fun to be in here for a different event. And there are things going on that we don't realize during the year, conventions. The Pope played this building, Charlie. Do you realize that?
When was this?
99, the same year the Rams won the Super Bowl.
I heard about that.
There was a thing going around. If the Pope were there, then you would win the Super Bowl. Bring him back. Let's get him to Busch Stadium, huh? 2019, get Pearl Jam and the Pope. That way you can't go wrong.
That would be awesome. I'm telling you.
Not
I'm walking
together.
Yeah, or together, either way.
Or together.
You could do kind of a tandem set there. But I'm walking into the Dome, and you do have that nostalgia. And I was walking up with our guy John, who let me in, and I'm thinking, so many memories, and I kind of joked, so many bad football memories. But then I'm thinking to myself, look, I got here in 2008. For so many people, there were so many great memories of the greatest show on turf. And unfortunately, I never got to experience any of that because I arrived in 2008. So if you're talking 2008 to 2015 – Bad football.
Yeah, you arrived, things sort of went into the tank.
Pretty much.
To be fair. ESPN.com has a column today, and it's for every NFL franchise. Don't talk about the NFL. It says, best and worst season for every franchise. And for the Rams, who spent the bulk of their time in Los Angeles, they were in Cleveland for a little bit, their best and worst happened in St. Louis. Now, this is Bill Barnwell. He does a lot of historical type stuff, and it would take a lot of perusing to go through for every single team. It's an interesting read. Rams are off to a 10-1 start, but their best season, 1999, of course, it's the only Super Bowl they won. They said statistically the offense was better in 2001, numbers-wise, lost the Super Bowl to the Patriots. Worst Rams season. Now, I'm sure in L.A. there were some clunkers. Maybe in Cleveland they had some bad draft picks.
May I guess?
Yes.
Did we have multiple 1-15 seasons?
No, we had one. We had 3-2-1.
So Spags.
3-2-1.
3-2-1.
2007 was 3-13. 2008 was 2-14.
Progress.
And 2009 was 1-15, the inaugural season for Coach Spags. So that was 3-2-1. 6 wins, 3 years. Matt Rocky was considering jumping from the top of the press box. 3-2-1. 6 wins. 6 wins in 3 years of football. And that's also right around the time Georgia died and we were sort of leading into the ownership change.
Let's just put it this way. In obviously, I was pretty young when the greatest show on turf happened. I never actually – my first game ever in the Dome was in 2002, actually. so I didn't get to watch any of that stuff live. Just put it this way, my greatest memory is the fact that they could have gone 10-6 if Josh Brown doesn't hit those two field goals for the Seahawks. That's my brightest St. Louis memory, is they could have.
Linehan's first
they
year.
They might have gone 10-6 had Josh Brown and the Seahawks not beat them two games by a combined 5 points, I believe.
It's funny because when I think about the Cleveland Browns, have they went 0-16 twice?
Feels no. right.
Okay, they no, haven't?
It's just them and the Detroit Lions each once.
Okay, so you always wonder, did they go 0-16 twice? And, again, I don't even know the correct answer.
One of them.
So, Rocchio just told us there. The Lions also did. But with the Rams, it's
we
kind of like.
We got Solly at the controls. We got Rock here.
Yeah.
We could have some kind of weird Jeopardy wiki contest between these two with random knowledge.
But with the Rams, you're also thinking back, was that the 1-15 year? Was that the 2-14 year?
Is that the year we won two or one?
A lot of 7-9s
so
under
your
fish.
Your guess would be, did you guess?
The 1-15
Spags
year.
So in 99, according to this list, the Rams' best ever season, 99. Their worst ever season was in 2009, the 1-15 season.
I'll tell you what, though.
I'll tell you what, the next.
If Quentin Michael makes that tackle, we go 2-14.
It is fun to go through for every franchise if you're a fan of a particular team, like best and worst. And I guess you could debate it. It's good for, what do you call it? Clicks, Chuck.
Clickbait.
But I was trying to apply this to the St. Louis Blues. What is their best season? Because for almost every franchise, if you did this in every sport, you're going to end up going back to the year that they won it all, won a championship. Although they don't do that. For example, he has the Ravens' best season, and it's a year that they didn't win the Super Bowl. I'm not sure, other than getting people to argue, what the point is. The best Blues season ever, you could argue, was the 2016 run because of the conference final. Now, as a young franchise, they did get to the Stanley Cup Final.
Rafer will tweet at you.
Yeah, they did get to the Stanley Cup, but it was sort of set up that way with the expansion teams. The 2016 run to the Western Conference
Final.
Because of the way you got there. Beating the Blackhawks
great
in a Game
series.
7, beating the Stars in a Game 7, you could argue that was one of your best seasons. You won the President's Trophy in 2000, but quickly bowed out. So does that count as your best season? It's an interesting thought for Blues fans. 2001, you did get to the conference final. 86, you had the Monday Night Miracle, but then you lost. There's not an obvious choice. Best Blues season, 855-282 8255, you could take it to the bank with your bold thoughts.
Listen, Martin, I love the nostalgia, but we do have some positive things to talk about.
No, we don't.
We're going to get soccer.
Okay.
The Cardinals will sign a big-time free agent or maybe trade for someone, we think. I know the Blues season right now, it's not looking good. We're sitting here in the Dome. There's some beautiful dirt out there. We're reminiscing about football. We had a great game tonight on Fox 2. Saints versus the John Burroughs grad, Ezekiel Elliott, who's been going off the last couple of weeks. A lot to be excited about. So stop with your negativity.
No negativity. Negativity or nostalgia? Which is it?
That's a good segment.
Blues fans, what was your, what do you consider the best ever season for the franchise? 855-282-8255. The current state, not so good. Losing in Detroit last night, 4-3. Fell behind 3-0. You heard Chris Kerber, his game day visit with Frank yesterday. And he made the point, he said, something about this team, they're always chasing the game. They're always trailing. So they're always spending energy trying to get back into a game. He said that from the morning skate in Detroit. Last night, what happens? They fall behind. Ultimately, it's 3-0, and they're chasing the game. They come all the way back. They tie it. Your guy, your birthday. Is
David
that your
Perron,
birthday Eskimo?
May
28th. That
That's kind of weird the way you said it there. But
he got the game. The goal to tie it, and I immediately said, oh, that's great. How will they lose? That's the not to be negative, but you know the current state of the team. They've lost 7 of the last 9, fired Mike Yeo. They're 1-3 since they fired Mike Yeo. Somewhere he's sitting with Mike Matheny laughing.
May I throw out a dumb possibility for what the Blues should do moving forward? Here we
it's
go.
It's time for Chuck's dumb possibility.
I'm half kidding when I say this. Think about the last week. What was the best game the Blues played? And what happened at the very beginning of that game?
Friday, Nashville fight.
Pat Maroon. Just fight off the opening puck drop. I'm dead serious right now. Get the crowd. Now, I know they're on the road right now. But get some energy early. Do something early to not chase the game. Again, I'm half kidding there. But Let's start fast. If it takes a fight to get the boys going, then do that. It worked for one game. Nothing else is working right now.
And hockey players are traditionally superstitious. So if anything works, you should do it and repeat it. 0-5-3 now in one-goal games. I feel bad for Craig Berube because I'm sure he likes being a head coach.
Chief.
He's been a head coach. Is that okay? Is that politically
Everybody
correct?
Calls him Chief.
I know. They call him Chief.
What, do you want to do like Ancestry.com or something? Bring back the Elizabeth Warren deal?
No. I'm just saying. Is it okay to call
Everybody
him Chief?
Everybody calls
that insensitive?
Him Chief. No, listen.
And I'm not being serious.
Listen, I was at the practice the other day, and everybody called him Chief. I didn't feel like I could call him Chief, though. You know what I'm saying?
Because now it sounds a little derogatory. Nothing to do with Ancestry, but just kind of a smart aleck sports. Hey, Chief, what were you doing there with those lines late in the game? Huh, boss?
More so, though, I feel like you can't use the nickname with the person unless you're – you don't have to be friends, but at least acquaintances. Like, I feel like I can call Doug Armstrong Army now. You know what I'm saying? But Craig Berube, I have no relationship with him whatsoever, so to call him Chief without really even introducing myself is odd.
I think the opening press conference would have been great if you said, hey, this one's for Chief.
Not now, Chief. I'm in the zone.
What are you thinking about goaltending situation? No. Not for you, Army. I asked Chief. Okay.
So why is it in a New York accent there?
Because that's our go-back.
Okay,
that's fallback.
True. That's
it has nothing to do with roster lineup changes. It has to do with that you and I have a long-established East Coast voice.
How about this? Text line blowing up here. Chuck, would that be a secondary fight bump? It's a very good question.
There has been no initial bump, so we won't even have the second bump.
How about this? Chuck, which one of these wimps will fight? How about Pat Maroon? Right?
And I love the changing narrative. Mentioned this the other day. When the Blues come home, oh, this would be great. We're going to be at home for a while. Chance to kind of, like, get in front of our home fans, and then they lose a bunch of games. It's really good to get on the road.
Team bonding.
Chance to bond a little bit. Then they say, Maroon's a healthy scratch. Oh, and then he gets injured. Oh, well, we're missing Maroon right now. Well, but when he was healthy, you scratched him for a couple of games.
Mental rest. Martin, a lot of people weighing in on the best and worst Blues season.
And I'm not old enough to remember those early years where they did go to the Stanley Cup final. I would argue that the 16 run, because you had likable guys like Backes, you still had
Brouwer.
Yeah, I mean, it was a likable team. Hitch was the old curmudgeon, but
Steve Ott.
We thought it was like a last kick at the can for Hitch, and he ends up coaching at two other places after that.
It felt like this Tarasenko, Schwartz, Pietrangelo core, and
like
and
they were
Allen
all like
all
they were ascending.
Off, yeah.
Yeah, you thought you had an ascending group. You also had the old crotchety coach who'd done it before. And then you do it with the Hawks and the Stars in a Game 7. I might argue that case.
I just stumbled into a hot take. As you just talked about Hitch, Hitch has now become Jack McKeon. Hitch is Jack McKeon.
Trader Jack.
Trader Jack. If a team needs a little bump midway through the season, he's probably going to have these random interim/one-year coaching gigs till he's about 75. What do you think?
I think he would do it.
He's 100%.
I think he's also like La Russa. He's gonna be in the game, in the press box his whole life.
I think a lot of people, I wouldn't be surprised if we're getting a lot of 96, considering it's Gretzky, and then when you look what happens in the playoffs, it's an unfortunate injury to your goalie, Grant Fuhr, when he's playing literally the entire season. And then even when the backup actually plays well, Yzerman gets that ridiculous goal in the first place. So I think that might be the one because you combine.
Is that your best or your worst?
I think it's the best team because you have Gretzky.
Your best season.
It's the best season, but also I think you combine it with the fact that they only lost because it was just ridiculously bad luck. And I think you kind of chalk it up to the best. That was probably the best season when it came to, like, the closest they were going to get.
Text line 855-282-8255. Doug's prison wallet saying, wrong, Martin. 0-1 was the best Blues team. Lost in Game 7
Colorado.
Of conference final to the eventual cup winner. Somebody else saying 2000-2001 Blues season was probably the best if Roman Turkey wasn't in net pooping the bed. That's not my words. This is the text line. Pooping the bed. That could have been a cup team. Hockey Bob weighing in. Of course, the 80-81 season, the Blues finished number two behind the Islanders that year, and they beat them 6-0 that season behind Rick Hines. That was the best season. Somebody calling you Martin Buzzkill Coin.
That's fair.
I like that nickname.
And you missed the narrative from earlier in the week when I became backup camera Kill Coin because I was saying, and you gotta walk through this all before you make a
the elitist hour.
The elitist. Chuck would be quick to agree.
Chuck and Martin.
No, no, no. Charlie has a fancy phone. That's
blue collar, Toledo, Ohio, home of Jeep.
Your Jeep's falling apart, and you're sticking with it.
Disagree. Just got it repaired, couple of new
repaired,
tires.
Repaired, correct.
Hey, 124,000 miles, bud. What do you expect?
Oh, you butted me.
But next, if anybody out there.
Next, you're going to chief me?
Again, if any car dealerships are looking for a sponsor.
Chief?
Bud? Go ahead. Sorry. I interrupted.
I mentioned to Frank that at the state championship game on Saturday, there's one play where Brett Gabbert fumbles, but it looked like his hand was in motion. And I saw him turn to the referee and was showing the throwing motion as if, you know, hey, I wasn't. And my gut was to look around for a replay because you're so used to that, not just with all the sports, but especially football. And then I realized, no, the refs get together like, yeah, it's a fumble. Okay.
Did you see it? Oh, man, and actually, I wasn't really paying attention.
Right. Then they move on, and it's over with. I said, these are things that you get ingrained. They're habits that you establish without even realizing it. I said, for example, when you back up in a car and it doesn't have the backup camera, you get so used to it, it can really throw you. And then Hoff goes, I don't have a backup camera. And then Plowsy said, I don't have a backup camera. And then, of course, Frank Lydon said, I don't have a backup camera.
He has six backup cameras.
And so it became this false narrative that I'm some sort of elitist.
May I ask this question? First of all, you are an elitist. But
not for that reason.
Correct. When were these basically installed in almost every vehicle? And I ask because
it's federally required as of 2016.
Okay, that's what I was looking for because I have a 2011. My wife has a newer vehicle. Shout out to Bomarito. She does have a backup camera, which I love. And then there's several Fox 2 vehicles I drive that have the backup cameras, but I do not. And
you
I have
don't? Wow.
Well,
you
I have a 2011.
Phone.
I have a fancy phone, but see. You get the phones, though. I had a fancy phone for about 3 months. Then iPhone comes out with 12 more new models.
You see, Charlie, as we know, he's one of the riches. So I'm guessing what he does is he's got his nice phone. He just gets somebody whenever he gets to work to run out there and solely videotape a live stream of him backing up. That way he just looks on his phone. He just gets people to do it for him.
Let me tell you, though.
You know, it's a good thing your wife has got the backup, you know, because them women drive, and you got to be careful
I'll
there,
tell
Charlie.
You what. I have a very narrow driveway. And I don't know if I've said this on camera, but the first time when we were moving into our new house, I was driving the truck that we rented, you know, to bring all the gear, bring all the furniture and all that. And I actually ran into the side of my house and caused structural damage to our brand new house that we had just bought before we
you
even
are the worst.
Entered. I was just mortified. So I'm good now. And with the Jeep, I can back out. But the backup camera would really help in my driveway.
I moved a couch for my mom a couple of weeks ago. Hey, Ma, she calls me to get this couch, so I rented a pickup truck, and a couple of times I had to back up, and I was like, oh, son of a, I can't see where I'm. And plus, I got the couch. You know, I didn't strap it down. It's falling off the side. I don't really know what the hell I'm doing.
Did you have a back belt, and you lifted with your legs, not your back?
You know what's funny? I've had some back problems in the last week. I wonder if it goes back to that couch.
It's all your mom's fault, man.
Hey, Mom, my back ain't feeling so hot. Hockey Bob texted in. Is he also on the line? Because I know he's normally the – okay, Hockey Bob answered – we answered your question via the text. Dan O'Neill for the Post-Dispatch, blues historian. He's got a great blues book out there as well. He said 16's good call. Then they gutted the leadership, of course, before that next season. I'm assuming these are for air. The 80-81 team, Dan O'Neill pointed out, had 10 guys that scored – 20 or more goals. Imagine that, 10 or more guys. There were some really good teams. I just said the problem is it's not being a buzzkill. If you're a Blues fan, it's sort of sad that there's no obvious answer.
One more from the text line, 855-282-8255. Best season was 94. Joseph beat the hell out of Chevalier at center ice against the Red Wings before the game, and the puck dropped. Then we swept the Blackhawks in four in Belfour. Broke his stick over the crossbar.
Yeah, I love the 93 it was Belfour.
94.
Well, either way, this is the text line. It's not
right.
Me.
Was 94 the first year without Oates?
We'll
check on that.
Solly? 855-282-8255.
92-93 was the first full season without Adam Oates.
There you go.
He's Rain Man,
that's
dude.
Unbelievable.
We
okay.
need to do like a
hold
stump
up,
stump
up.
The South.
Okay, real quick. We haven't done this in a long time.
Career at bats for Aaron Miles. No, when did Aaron Miles play for the Cardinals? That's easier.
Aaron Miles with the Cardinals from 2006 through 2008 and then again in 2010.
And you actually just know that off the top of your head?
Yeah, because I covered him.
How about Skip Schumacher?
Skip Schumacher debuted in 2005 with the Cardinals and finally became a regular without going down to the big leagues in 2008, had cameos in 2006, 2007, played here through the 2012 season when he was traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers for, I believe it was, I might be getting his first name wrong, it was, I think it was Jake, if not Jake, then Jordan Lemmerman.
Wow.
And you know what? If you're wrong, we don't know. Good for you. How about...
That's impressive. What was the Joe Thurston year?
No, 2008.
Yeah.
I think.
Joe Thurston was 2009.
Okay.
Because 2008 you had Troy Gloss at third, and 2009 you were relying on Joe Thurston and Brian Barden until you got Mark DeRosa, and then he hurt his wrist.
Yeah, Joe was in Boston in 08. Come on, guys. Don't you know that?
That's right.
I was just going to ask which year was the weird year you had what? You had Brian Barton and Brian Barden.
Yeah, that was 2008 with Brian Barton.
And the Brian Barton, who had the dreadlocks, was actually like an aerospace engineer kind of guy. And then Brian Barton would arrange the interviews with Brian Barton, but there was a guy in the system named Brian Barden with a D.
And wasn't he solid?
This is what happens when Mizzou slew an Illinois
solid.
Play and the Blues suck.
Yes.
Okay, this is what happens.
Solly, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Brian Barden, D-E-N, did he win Rookie of the Month or the Week, something like that?
He won, I believe it was a Rookie of the Week award for sure for just absolutely going off. I believe it was against the Cubs.
That's amazing.
I think he had a two-home run game or something.
What's the flagship Detroit station, KJR, WJR?
Oh, that's 760.
760. Not to be confused with Buffalo, which is like J-E-R-C.
Well, WGR 550.
WGR
550. Rocchio is fact-checking up to the minute, and this kid is right about everything.
Right, yeah, the first thing when you Google Barden Cubs is Barden breaks out with Homer versus Cubs, Cardinals third baseman. Brian Barden, the Cardinals' Mr. April, sets the table.
Mr. April.
How about Two Fingers Brown? When did he retire?
Two Fingers Brown.
Two Fingers? I don't know of a Two Fingers. I mean, Mordecai Brown was three, but I also don't know the date he retired.
Well,
this was his brother.
In the system.
Yep. Cousin.
Oh, wow.
Late in his career, he lost a finger.
How many 14-inning games did Raleigh Fingers pitch a complete game? Go.
What?
How many 14-inning games?
All right, I think we'll take a break. We got a lot to get to. We're at the site of the Gateway Dirt Nationals, gatewaydirt.com, the website. Very cool spectacle. They're going to be out here. You got the open wheel, Charlie, which is also – some people get mad when they say midget cars. Seriously.
Small person cars.
It's open wheel. You got the super late models. You got the modified. And Kyle Larson, big-time name on the NASCAR circuit.
100%.
Ricky Stenhouse, Kenny Wallace, fan favorites, going to be out here racing Thursday through Saturday, Gateway Dirt. For more information, not far from here is Bertarelli Cutlery.
Sharp City, we love it. Bertarelli Cutlery right there on the hill, 1927 Marconi on the web. BertarelliCutlery.com. They have the cool names for the knives, Martin, the Precipice, the Pagan, the Infidel. Buy the new knives, maybe for a housewarming gift, maybe for a wedding registry, and take those old, dull knives and get them sharpened right there at Sharp City. Bertarelli Cutlery, one of our most loyal sponsors. 10-plus years. We love them. And they have great commercials. You know what I'm saying?
Isn't there a vehicle for you and Iggy to sort of interrupt each other?
Iggy and I, best buds. There's another one where they wanted me to kind of make fun of, maybe it's your nagging grandma or your nagging mom during the holiday season. So just great commercials for Bertarelli Cutlery.
Hey, Ma.
Hey,
also,
Ma.
Online at 590 The Fan, you can vote for the High School Athlete of the Week. We appreciate Schnooks being a part of that program. A lot of fun for folks because they have a chance to pick the High School Athlete of the Week. It's simple. Go online, 590thefan.com, and you have Schnooks all around town. In fact, that's where Danny Mack is right now, ringing the bell. Michael Gersh, John Mazalek will be ringing the bell at the Schnooks in Richmond Heights. There is a Schnooks in your neighborhood. I can just about guarantee it. If it gets real cold again, which it's not, it's going to be warm. Don't try and figure it out. But when it is brutal cold, if you're indoors, SchnooksDelivers.com. Midday Grind, coveted hour. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Coming right back. I'm going to come up with a quiz. More quizzes, quiz questions for Solly. We'll take those at 855-282-8255. It's a lot to get to on this Thursday.
Sure is. Happen every time, like, shine.